Hashtag OH underscore MY underscore George. Good evening, good morning, good afternoon, or good night, wherever in the world you may be and are right now. So, when there's too much on top, just stop. Is a book that I self-published via Amazon in 2019. Took me over a year to write and self-publish, put together after an online challenge on how to write a book in a month. Whoops. Although the first chapters, five of them, came together within the first month, and then you have a mental block and then you need to go out and relearn. So I decided I'd feel I had to put this out in an audiobook because it's free on Kindle. It's there in a workbook for schools, which obviously, you know, I'd like people to pay for. So it's in a paper context and people have to publish it. And obviously because I've spent the time and energy to put this context together, everybody will like to create abundance. But the purpose of the book is to create a sound of consciousness around mental wealth and health. And there's already a second book written there in content. I'm just hinting for a publisher next time. Although here we go. When there's too much on top, just stop. Mental wealth, are we conscious? Hashtag O underscore my underscore George. When there's too much on top, just stop. The fine line between genius and insanity. Creating a world sound of mental wealth. Are we conscious? Contents. Acknowledgement. Foreword. Introduction. Chapter 1. Energy is everything, or everything is energy. Chapter 2. Making sure things don't get on top. Chapter 3. Have we forgot how we react as humans to create a conscious society? Chapter 4. Air to clear and dissolve it. Chapter 5. Social media sites and lack of connection. Chapter 6. Our monkey minds. Chapter 7. When there's too much on top. Chapter 8. Creating Sukmani equals peace of mind. Chapter 9. Are computers just like people? Chapter 10. Too much on top. Chapter 11. The fine line between mental health. Chapter 12. Insanity, genius, or consciousness. Chapter 13. No judgment. Summary and further readings. So I don't like to stretch this out in between each chapter too long. So I'm deciding to keep this in short snippets in the podcast and areas where I'm going to elaborate. So I'm going to go into the beginning of the acknowledgements and say I'd like to say a huge thank you to the universe for guiding me to write this book in these moments in times of awakening around our abilities as human beings and our thoughts around mental health. Thank you for the inspiration, Team Gold, School of Awakening, Akashic Guys, Andy Harrington, David Shepherd, Bev James, and many more beyond this list, and many more to mention. Many parts of this book are thoughts from the learnings that I've been blessed to acknowledge and help me overcome my sound of what mental health was to myself, to empower and encourage me always to be part of an amazing world supportive community. And I need to add to that to also empower you. I would like to thank social media sites for all inspiration, any thoughts captured or obtained within my own research into the thoughts or reactions from many who I may have encountered whilst writing this, and hope that now you will appreciate when you've read this short book, I hope it will make a difference to how you create your own thoughts, to creating a relationship and how you relate to others. I would like to thank personally Serena. I love you so much for the inspiration for the title of this book, Yvette. Bless her soul, RIP, for our monkey minds. Bevel for his magical poetry and words. Ravine and Catherine for making sure I got on board at the right time. I thank society for being such a fuck-up to make so passionate to make a difference to creating a new sound, action, and reaction of mental wealth. And to get people to wake up and stop treating each other like shit within their learnings and writings. I love and thank my parents, my family, and forgive them for not understanding at times. I thank my daft old rescue dog, Tess, who passed in August 19, aged 16, actually, that's correct, that. And my cats, past and present, Socks, Toby the dog, and all the beautiful animals I love. I would love to thank all the amazing people in the background that have helped support me when others have failed to do so. Those who recognised and have been a beam of light and support and inspired me to create a new world sound mental wealth in society around the world, all sharing a dream vision to reach over 16 billion worldwide through lessons of consciousness. I would love to thank the Rao Singh family for all their understanding and support, my friend Mr. David Jones for being there in the last, well, 10 years when I wrote this. That's 15 years, let's say now. Anna and many others in my life. To Sid Jaffrey to writing a book to bring an awakening to people worldwide. You may be wondering why choose this subject. Mental health. Let's rephrase this to mental wealth. The truth, be it, is that everyone has a form of mental health. It's just that we all manage it in different ways. Or that form becomes a pressure where our physical, emotional and spiritual health is imbalanced so that we are not in a state of flow or mind to manage or cope with our mental health, which causes problems and issues with our spiritual, physical and emotional. Einstein once quoted that there is a fine line between genius and insanity. I quite get this, and it's where on a personal level I am my own survivor of mental health and why I write this book. To share the story and the stigma around the words mental and health. To rephrase these words, labels around the world to mental wealth. So let's continue whilst I tell you this story of misunderstanding, peril, fear, love, and life. With a purpose fulfilled with love. To end the stigma around mental health and allow us to be conscious within our behaviours as humans towards each other. I write this with love for my daughter Caris May, who has kept me surviving, and is a beacon of light I shine upon always. Introduction. When there's too much on top, just stop. I grew up in a small market town on the border of North and West Yorkshire, which is also well known for its horse racing. Went through life not quite knowing or understanding why I felt something different. Why people, I'm going to add the word maybe, reacted different and towards me. Why or what was affecting my ungroundedness. I was feeling pains around me in areas, headaches, stresses, and not knowing how or what that was affecting me. Although I got on with life, or through life, I listened to the imprints around me. The stigma, lack of recognition and aptitude to the word mental, as if there is something wrong, seriously wrong with you. Somewhere based upon aptitudes and thoughts from the 1900s pre and being passed on through society into 70s, 80s Britain around my younger years. So to say, or even believe or think that someone could have a part of their health that was mental and not to work on that was why scarcity hit my brain in fear of recognition. Mental health is real. Everyone suffers from mental health issues. Some manifest this in other health issues through longer term ill health. The words we use often become the labels or actions we take. Mental health is just a label used and often action only to that degree. What action will happen when we remove the words mental health and replace them with mental wealth? Maybe then we will start focusing on creating areas within society that focus on creating mentally wealthy spaces for all instead, and thus supporting removing the label or needs of mental ill health. Hashtag my_George. When there's too much on top, just stop. I'm just going to, before I go into the chapter one, Everything is Energy, I'm just loving rereading this and being able to elaborate on this vocally so it expresses its true purpose of the writings that I put out there years ago. So I'm going to go into the chapter Everything is Energy. Everything is energy. E=mc². Einstein. Do you realise that everything that you touch has its own sound wave, its own energy? And as humans, we also resonate on sound waves, frequencies, colour, and the energy that is connected to the energy within everything that has been created. The energy is universal. In essence, this is the energy that we feel. Naturally, we hold a boundary around us to prevent people to our space. And within thought or a word, the word mental became related to the energy of something crazy. A person that could cause harm. Someone that wasn't fit in the head and other aspects or thought patterns and various reactions created around this word over the many years. To be mental in the mid-80s was to be cast away, locked in a home, cell or ward and kept numb by ill-fitting drugs. And in a case in today's modern medicine still is to this within some degree by creating drugs to break the body and drugs to cure the body. For example, addition onto that point there, is anybody taking pregabalinol or any of the suggested nerve-related drugs that are supposed to work for mental health when just shut you down? I've done so, and you know, what is the truth? Is it CBD? Is it THC? Or is it just society itself and the frequencies that are affecting? Anyway, I'm going to carry on here. So to be mental in the mid-80s was to be cast away was the last fact I've stated. And remember, I've written this quite a few years ago and added to it, and now I'm refreshing going back to it now. So continue. To the same effect, prescription and drugs in all forms, which includes alcohol, caffeine, prescription, street drugs, veterinary drugs, and many more on this list, are all to be classed as a drug. That includes food. Includes belief, includes money, dare I say. So that needs to be added as well. And yet, what is a drug in mind? Is the mind altered by drugs, or more than this? What influenced you at school to make thought forms or opinions of others around mental health, or the way you may react to something? What is a drug caused by the mind? Where is the fine line between psychosis and genius, if this is to be the answer? There are many different views cast upon our societies around the world. Religious aspects, class and society aspects, work aspects, peer aspects, and many more. All of these aspects have the ability to create for you to believe and take an example of what they do, or to follow your own thoughts around what others may think, or think about you. What if you wake up and the first thing you say to yourself is, "Oh, what a shit day, I can't believe it's raining, dark, I have a hangover, my partner won't want me, etc, etc, etc." What sort of day are you creating for yourself if you to think this way? Only that of a shit day. And to behave and react in the way to how you're thinking about it. So let's rephrase this. What if you wake up and the first thing you think to yourself is, "Oh my George, what a great day. I don't have to wash the windows or water my plants. Okay, I've got to get in the car or train bus to work, yet the air will be refreshed with the water, and it's fun to be a child and jump in the puddles from time to time." Or if you don't have to go anywhere, it gives you the time to sit at home and write or read and catch up on phoning friends. What if you create your day or life within your thought process? How can we reframe our thoughts to be one of conscious thought so that we create an amazing day every day? So to say, is there a fine line between insanity and genius? I say it's simple, yes. Anyone can overdo anything. That only creates a form of stress. A case where if you had a bucket of balls and you imagine each ball as a thought about whatever, start filling the bucket with these thoughts, the balls, see what happens. You come to a point sometimes when there isn't enough space within this bucket to fulfill all the thoughts. At this point you're at risk of not managing your mental health, wealth as well as possible, and your emotions may change. You feel ill, tired and more. The little things annoy you. And yet, do we ever really look at your own mental wealth and say hi to it? Do we check in on it and make sure it's okay? Relate to the balls in the bucket and ask each aspect if it's okay. Does it need support? Are there too many balls in the bucket to cope with the thought that you most need to focus on? Yourself. Do we as humans act in a conscious way at times to recognize when people may have too many balls in that bucket? To take time to care, love and understand each other? Or are we too busy thinking about our own self-greed that we're creating a world where we don't care? Take a moment to think about this one. Some people are more connected to feeling the energy I was talking about earlier, and is where the lack of understanding around the links between mental and physical health within the world community is at a miss. What would it take to change the way that you think about how you react towards people that's compassionate about how you may feel from one day to the next, and to react in a way towards everyone you meet with that same compassion, love and understanding? To be one of consciousness, not of hate or fear, greed, misunderstanding. What does it take to make a difference within this world? Only the way we think and approach life and the way we approach each other. Everything is energy. What if we stop using the words mental health and rephrase them to mental wealth? What action will we create? Only one of a focus on creating mental wealth, not mental health. When we focus on creating spaces for people and businesses that are mentally wealthy for our physical, emotional, spiritual and mental wealth, then we remove the space for mental health. When we approach life with love and creativity we then bring that upon ourselves and share that with the people around us, and only create that sharing and love when we are creating the thought flow and reaction of love to engage in that energy. So let's begin. Hashtag OH_MY_George. When there's too much on top, just stop. Chapter 2. Making sure things don't get on top. Top. Trauma of pain, transference of pressure, or panic at the moment. I love my amazing conscious friend Serena for helping me recognise this when things get on top of me, or maybe yourself. I was supporting her to look after a property with so many different issues to resolve, tenants to deal with, maintenance, etc. when I came upon my own panic at the moment, which I love Serena at the moment in time for recognising within me and being so loving and supportive to bring me to a level and state of mind at this moment to bring me to a stage where I was calm in the panic of the moment. And it's also what prompted me the name of the book. How many things get on top of you on a day-to-day basis? How many things then take that trauma of pain, panic at the moment, and transfer that stress onto someone else, and then make it their stress also, or blame it on another issue? How many times do you allow things to get on top of you and then transfer that onto another person around you, thus transferring that energy onto the next person around you? What can we do to help each other when we sense a trauma of pain or panic at the moment with each other? Do you get a headache or a pain when too many things get on top of you? Can you allow those things that get on top of you to be a pleasure and a joy within life, not to allow the energy to drain you, for you to be frustrated, annoyed, irate, and transfer that to someone else in maybe the way you speak with them, or relate your stress of things getting on top of you to only create a state of panic of stress around us and the people we share that time with? Well, that's a great reminder. Sorry, I've got to jump in here. Of recent examples within myself, you know, where you reach out to somebody as if to say, what, here, what's going on, etc. So you're transferring your own pain to somebody else. Is it worth it? Energy is everything. Going back to the book, I admit I'm not my own angel always when too many pressures and things get on top of me. Yet I do recognise this may happen now, and at least can take some form of control to apologise for the way I reacted because of the stress in the moment, control the moment from being out of control or an emotional consequence or drama, which is what too many people create in their lifestyles, is only thought to create a drama and not at peace of mind with each other. And yet, how do we react to each other when these things are happening? Example, right now I'm currently, currently focused on writing, yet my cat Socks is persistently meowing at me directly under the keyboard whilst I'm trying to write. My friend's dog Toby running around my feet, pursuing Socks and following him everywhere, and at the same time, medley dog standing in front of me. I feel her eyes in my head as a headache. Does that remind your kids nowadays? Do I shout at Socks, be frustrated at Tess for being stubborn on my feet, and take my energy of what is on top of me to be a frustration, which then I feel horrible about also, or do I switch off and send my highest love to Socks with light and allow myself to focus on writing, go with the flow? How do you approach your children when they're around your feet, frustrating you and taking your attention away from the focus on what you're trying to do, whilst you're putting the shopping away, maybe having a conversation about an important issue with a friend or colleague or your partner? How do you react under pressure at work when exhausted and react to your colleagues around you? The reason I'm asking you these questions is to ask you to check in on your own consciousness. What do I mean by this? Are you conscious about the way that you react around people and the reaction you get back from them? Do you react with a punch or with peace and love? And what reaction do you get back from how you react? Next section is so true to right now. 2024, 5 years later, there are many frightened people within communities and frightening thoughts going on around us in the news, in the papers and more. Yet what reaction are we getting back? If we're only to react with a consciousness to be angry and frustrated at that, the one that is to be frightened, angry and frustrated at the world and people we share our time with and our circumstances with. Take a look at the state of the world right now. What if we are to change our consciousness as humans and not sheep and think our own thoughts, not polluted by fear? Think of the life we will create around us that will bring us harmony with each other, our work, our environments. As another friend of mine, Beryl, says, let that be food for your thought. How do you dissolve conflict within you and your life, your relationships? What consciousness or top do you put within your life to create a drama or trauma? What changes could you make to the way in how you react to someone and how you get a reaction back? What change can we make to mental health if instead we focus on creating mental wealth? Even when someone is having a bad day and sharing anger, it is only because of the lack of love that the person has received from this. Sometimes all they ever need to hear is, it's okay, I love you, everything will be okay. #OH_MY_George. When there's too much on top, just stop. Chapter 3. Have we forgot how we react as humans to create a conscious society? I feel like this is a good question we need to ask ourselves as human beings. I wish to keep the next couple of chapters simple to think about the following thoughts and questions. I want you to ask yourself. Please use the space, which I'm going to give you here instead of on paper, or use your own paper to take notes. What do we do with our life? What do we do with our day-to-day lives? Do you have a community around you that is supportive and speaks with each other? What is it that inspires us, fulfills our time, our days? What, in essence, is our purpose in day-to-day life? Have you checked in on your own mental health today and said hi to it? #OH_MY_George. When there's too much on top, just stop. Chapter 4. Air to clear and dissolve it. It's sunny outside and it's funny. I should come to talk about this because I came to a short block in flow of thought and writing and use the above example to clear using the technique of air to heal the mind and space to allow the thoughts of flow. What you create in your thoughts are the actions you take. Our limitations come from our brain and in the programming we have had drummed into us since our earliest years. This system carries inertia within us because we continue to reproduce this and introduce generation on generation of children into the limited systems we believe in. Or as Sidney Jaffe would say, when you come to a block within yourself, it is then when it's the time to keep going, staying positive and moving forward and connecting the most. What do you do to stop the blocks? Hashtag OH underscore MY underscore George. When there's too much on top, just stop. Chapter 5. Social media sites and lack of connection. We are simply avatars within a society stuck behind spending more time on mobile phones or social media connecting with each other. What time do we spend in real communication with each other without an avatar, in brackets AI, device to do so? The human touch has been so lost in modern day society, and lack of connection is forcing the world towards being on our phones or laptops to connect and integrate with each other. In essence, we're only avatars floating around in cyberspace wanting to connect, yet missing the touch or aspect of true connection. For example, only yesterday was I taking a short rail journey seeing four friends sat opposite each other, not speaking or talking or communicating, just glued to each other's phones, or the rest of the world as bubbles with headsets on or focused on our own self without paying attention to companionship and contact. An aspect of this has been shown on Black Mirror on Netflix, showing how in a future world we as avatars are rated on our interaction to our future version of mobile tech. This is in essence already in play, where citizens are rated as good citizens, etc., where the lower the points you are given, the lower the aspects of society you are allowed to engage within, which rates us on who we can interact with or to what value of service we will receive by who rates us on our day-to-day interaction with each other. Let's take a look at China. There's an addition to that. So is the world coming to us only judging each other through our phones, or is it coming to a phase where connectedness is at our roots and our avatars are only an addition of pressure to us connect within this world? I myself need to write content and connect through social media in this modern world, through blogging, Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, etc. And the rest. And yet have learned that the only content I wish to promote is a positive content or value. How do you promote yourself on social media? What words do you portray? Are they to pick fault or create good from what you see? So many Facebook groups, for example, are spent on the time criticizing others rather than taking positive action, creating positive outcomes and circumstances, that we are lost in translation of what is right or wrong with each other. How does this impact our mental wealth as a society? Some research was done on some dating sites to see what sort of reaction people would give you. In essence, in some state, if people are there only for a positive relationship or to connect, then why, if someone states they wish to connect, is that perceived in 85% of responses to a degree of prejudgment that a person is only wanting sex? So in what way does this in reality make us, as our avatars, work and think, when we are reacting in judgment without knowing? What judgments and thoughts, reactions, are we creating for each other when we are only responding in a way to create a viewpoint of someone, or a perception that a person is only seeking this or that, when being real, this is only your viewpoint and your judgment and your reaction towards the words or things you hear or see? How many times do you question a word that has been used in communication? What sort of reaction do you expect to receive when your thoughts or judgments you are making are creating the reactions you make? You're responsible for what you attract to yourself or repel by the thoughts you're creating and the words you use to interact.